Thank you, Mr. Chair, ladies and gentlemen. This statement is delivered on behalf of a wide range of non-governmental organizations. It has been drafted in consultation with and the aims to reflect the diversity of views of the NGO community. We meet here just 3 weeks after the UN high-level meeting on addressing large movements of refugees and migrants and stand at the threshold of a two-year process aiming to force global compacts to reinforce capability to assure their rights and safety. We meet at a time when the scale of this crisis is the greatest we have witnessed for generations, yet our common will and capacity to meet it have fallen short. We urge that the processes launched at the high-level meeting emphasize the participation of all expressions of civil society and put the voices of refugees and those internally displaced at their heart. We call on UNHCR to build on the extensive consultation model offered by the World Humanitarian Summit process and explore innovative technology which will open up real dialogue with displaced communities. Only by seeking inclusive, demand-driven solutions at all levels will we be able to truly mitigate our global crisis. Yet 2 years is a long road, a long time to ponder reforms. In the time it'll take to deliver this statement here, it is likely another 150 people will have been forcibly displaced from their homes, and 9, sadly, will have died on the unwanted journey. Here, we want to emphasize practical measures that we, collectively as the international humanitarian community, can take immediately to make refugee assistance more effective. First, we know conflict is the primary driver of forced displacement. We must move beyond rhetorical recognition to reforming how humanitarian aid and post-crisis development assistance is shaped to emphasize work on the root causes of conflict. We call on the High Commissioner to support our call to integrate programs that address these key drivers into humanitarian response to forced displacement crises from inception, and to double the trivial amount currently dedicated to peace building and conflict mitigation in bilateral and multilateral donors' global humanitarian aid budgets over the next 2 years. Even with increased funding for good governance and peace building, we will not make progress in addressing the key drivers of refugee flight without a concerted and coordinated effort between humanitarian and development actors. We cannot wait until some ill-defined transition point between acute emergency and post-crisis recovery to act on those issues. We therefore call on UNHCR to exercise its considerable authority to provide leadership at country, regional, and international levels on how we collectively and practically bridge humanitarian action and development assistance, with the single aim of maximizing the impact for those people and communities most affected. We must not shy away from testing radical and innovative ways to better realize the shared commitment and be transparent and accountable on the shared commitments made 6 months ago at the World Humanitarian Summit. We request UNHCR actively test and pilot solutions in partnership with the Solutions Alliance and report back on that progress at the Executive Committee in 2017. We must also change the way we fund emergency and protracted responses to refugee situations. We call on UNHCR to pilot, foster, and support adaptive solutions that move away from rigid program cycles and lengthy delays in grant approvals. These are simple solutions that the agency can endorse now. First, we cut back the bureaucracy and stymies rapid response and put in place funding mechanisms truly able to deliver funding to proven humanitarian partners for the delivery of on-the-ground action within 72 hours of crisis inception. Second, end the practice of short-term grants and guarantee a minimum funding period of 1 year for partners. Third, embed a context-driven crisis review mechanism within the program cycle to enable project expansion, shifts in focus, and other adaptive practices that better enable humanitarians to meet rapidly changing needs in complex fluid environments. In shaping a more effective humanitarian response, we must also not lose sight of the critical importance of youth and refugee crises worldwide. Too often they're viewed as some kind of demographic time bomb. Therefore, refugee youth are in reality our most powerful allies in supporting greater stability and durable solutions. The specific needs of this population are too often underserved or marginalized in crisis response. We urge UNHCR to work with its implementing partners, experts, and refugee youth themselves, not only to ramp up tailored assistance, but to ensure programming evolves based on evidence for what works and increasingly and personal well-being and resilience of young people. We stand with the High Commissioner and his agency in warning the dangers inherent in an increasing erosion of the respect for the Refugee Convention. We strongly urge that the new Secretary General reiterates the stance of UNHCR and makes clear his or her commitment to preserve its core tenets, facilitate adherence to its full application by all signatory states, and use the two-year process of policy formulation launched in New York to encourage more member states to accede and adhere to the convention and protocols. We were discouraged that the New York Declaration adopted on the 19th of September did not take up the Secretary General's call for the expanding means of admission to meet the annual resettlement needs identified by UNHCR. In itself has projected resettlement needs for 2017 at an unprecedented level of over 1.2 million refugees. Commitments this far from states have reached only 360,000 globally, a significant increase from prior years, but still far short of the need. We must continue to expand opportunities for resettlement and other forms of admission. We should also continue to prioritize those at greatest risk in approaching resettlement as a global program that requires predictability and infrastructure that cannot and should not have been shifted to the latest crisis. There are high needs cases in all regions and populations that have been waiting decades for durable solutions. Regional quotas made available by resettlement countries should remain dedicated to those regions and not reallocated. NGOs stand ready to work with UNHCR on these challenges through assistance with case identification and referral and staffing. We must contemplate and create new models for supporting meaningful and long-term durable solutions for refugees. This must include restructuring incentives for hosting countries to commit to policy changes that shift the currently unacceptable status quo in a direction that better supports refugees in protracted displacement contexts. To this end, we urge UNHCR to support and create a comprehensive refugee integration index and fund. This would better help direct donor resources and incentivize positive changes in hosting communities. We would be remiss in talking about the summit if we did not mention our disappointment with the New York's declaration's language related to detention as well. We call on all states to work and end the practice of child detention and implement rights-based alternatives to detention for the entire family in accordance with the best interests of the child. Furthermore, we must not forget people who are displaced within their own borders. We need to concentrate measures to improve protection assistance for IDPs. We, as the NGO community, emphasize our commitment to active participation in the longer-term processes launched during the General Assembly and with an admirable aim of strengthening protection for displaced people everywhere. We can now take action now on key issues that can deliver more effective assistance to those at no harm and considerable benefit to those global outcomes. We urge UNHCR to engage openly and actively with us on how to realize the suggestions we have made today. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I thank the